All right. Gotta will myself right now. It's been a lot of...
This gonna be a flu game?
I don't feel flu-ish. I just feel tired, right?
That's what MJ said.
I mean, like, in...
the flu, you just your flu game.
No, I just like, yeah, sleep has been like at a very, very minimum. And then I realized I've probably been raising my voice a lot
in the last 2 days. You've been screaming.
Yeah. I've been in places where it's been loud like the last two nights. It's crazy. And yeah, so I'm going to a wedding today. Starts at 4. So we're not going to be here all day. Just can't do that. Yeah. No, I don't.
And you in the wedding?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
Remember, we talked about this.
No, I know. I'm saying, like,
just have me there. That's fine. You know, I don't even need to be in the wedding party or none of that.
No, I was wondering, like, as someone who's been to a lot of weddings, why do they go out the night before like that when you got to be like the most presentable you've ever been? And then you know, you might come in sluggish like you are today. Your eyes a little low.
Well, they started at 4, which is cool.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I think like this time around, at least with this particular group of friends, I think I did a better job at pacing myself in terms of just being able to wake up the next day. Like, just to be, and that was a, it's not like, you know, your friends get married often. So it's like, yo, in comparison to like what I did 4 or 5 years ago, feel 1,000% better about, you know, how I handle things now. Now, sick other may beg to differ.
Mm.
But that's part of the territory. Yep. But you gonna lead us in?
All right.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
No. I got some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, let me do my...
I didn't have no other code. Banter.
Hey, I mean...
Before, because you know what? I was getting ready to be like, yeah, well, how's your day going? So I could just wait till after the music. Listen, I don't care. You can be at your mama's house, your auntie's house, your grandmama's house. Hell, you can be anywhere in the world, man. You're here with us. Thank you. I want to welcome you guys to You Wasn't Outside podcast episode.
I'ma stand my own ground, a nigga play with me. Sentimental 45. Value, never sell the thing you gave to me. Who the king of Macamento?
Said it twice, I had to get one of them.
I ain't trying to end up in the pen, that shit gay to me. Slap sixes on the Dell, that's a 83. This game banging shit
ain't like coming in low today?
Shout out to Mozzie. What'd you say?
Seem like we coming in low today?
No, you coming in great. Your headphones might just be low.
Oh.
Cause you're blaring.
Am I?
No, you're not blaring. You getting your bag and like hot footed real quick.
Baby, I just don't get it.
Do you enjoy being hurt?
Jacket spin around.
You smell the perfume. The makeup on his shirt.
You gotta be in front of a mirror when you listen to this.
I gotta get a better ergonomically set chair.
Bad as you are, you stick around, and I just don't know.
Gotta contact HR.
You got the baseball today?
We need to get an HR.
What I do, I be coming home back to you every night, doing you right. You're the type of woman deserve good things. This for the diamond, head for the rain.
I pray there never comes a time where you just run out of like, there's a lot of music, but I hope you don't lose creativity. You know what that reminds me of? Like your music creativity is like, you know, in terms of like finding songs that like, you know, blend together or mesh together. It's almost like when I ran out of Lex names. I went out the gate too early with like 40 on that.
I told you.
Yeah, man.
I said, hey, slow down, slugger.
Hadn't felt inspired about getting any new names since then either.
Oh, yeah, it's not even a thing anymore.
I wonder, man, we need to get somebody to like look back and like find out when I stop actually like giving out the new, giving out the names for you and stuff. Like, yeah, it was around episode 25. It was around the 20s, though, when I ran out of, like, a little bit of juice. But anyway, here we go.
Namaz Carter.
Just Lex, just Lex, just Lex. Welcome to the You Wasn't Outside podcast, episode 45. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most. Normal ass Carl, to my frontish right. I got my man at Just Lex. How you been, man? You great?
Doing God's work.
Yeah. How's, you got what, 19 days to prepare, have your house ready in order for this, although I've been there a few times. I don't get the purpose of a housewarming if you help me move. You know what I mean?
You gotta see it all settled. Mm. You gotta see the slight changes that might be a little different from the last time you was there.
Are you settled?
No. But we have it outside now.
What do you mean? Like you're out.
The landscaping is complete. 92% done.
What's the 8% that's missing?
Yeah, there's some succulents. There's some issues that we need. Yeah. Throw us little corners.
The word succulent though, yeah, and that, man. Like, but it's like that is an 8% job though. So
yeah.
Okay. All right. How's work?
I mean, you know, got a lot of overtime coming up.
Do you?
Yeah.
So. Right, you don't seem excited about it.
I'm not.
Let's talk about that.
Because
overtime is overrated, literally. Like, no, not to even have the pun or the play on words, but overtime is overrated.
It's overrated, but at the same time, we got shit I got to pay for.
No, that's real.
But what makes it suck now is because this whole time we've been, working from home. Or if you have been in the office and you're working overtime, you can go home and finish your overtime. As long as you in the office, that now they're changing it to wherever you work your shift, you got to stay there. And so
at your job.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to be in the office for 10 hours. Get home super late after leaving super early. And because I have as many hours as I do that I got to knock out, I have to do it.
Let's talk about some substance then real quick in regards to that. Do you miss? I read an excerpt, right? And that now, when you went on that lane, I was like, we might as well stick there and stay there real quick. In 1994, an Italian physicist named Cesare Marchetti noted that throughout history, humans have shown a willingness to spend roughly 60 minutes a day in transit. This explains why ancient cities such as Rome never exceeded about 3 miles in diameter. The steam trains, streetcar, subway, and automobile expanded that distance, but transit time stayed the same. The one-way average for an American commute stands to about 27 minutes. So from your job to your house, about 20 minutes. And it was the same from when you were, probably over here, just a different angle, different pattern of traffic.
20, about 25.
So and the
with no traffic
and the fact that you're able to work from home. Do you miss like the commutes?
No, because I've always had, I've always been in the office at least one day.
Yeah.
And so I think. We talk about this every now and then in the group chat about quality of life. And it's like, that's a big thing. And that's something, if you know anything about government work, it's usually pretty inefficient. They usually can, allocate their resources differently and make it better. And I think teleworking, it's the new wave. If you can get all these people off the road, a long commute, whether it's in conscious or subconscious, that shit is stressful.
Yeah.
You're annoyed. And then this is how I got to start my day after I was just in traffic for an hour.
But one thing I will say, right? Although I do like the new model, I miss the zen that you would get for 30 minutes, in the car. There was something therapeutic about it.
That depends on the commute. Not everybody is in for 30 minutes in the car.
Not one time. You're making, 10 trips a week? So not one time you get some type of clarity?
I understand what you're saying, especially,
Have you ever worked a whole week at home?
Yeah.
I felt like I did nothing all week.
No, I get it. I ain't wore pants since Tuesday.
So that's me.
But when I'm working from home, yeah, it might get I haven't seen outside. But I'll be outside, I go running in the morning, the routine. But routines are what make people successful. That's exactly why, to raise kids successfully, they need to be in a routine, right?
Right.
And so it might seem tedious. It might seem, life is stagnant at the moment, but it is what it is. Because the commute, same thing. It's just, I'm in a car and I'm moving.
I miss the consumption that I had, though, right? In regards to I used to be able to get through podcasts a lot faster.
Right, right.
Listen to new music, more often. Now people send new music. I'm like, I'm just not in the place to listen to it right now. It just feels different. As much as I would like to blare from home, at one point we both were teleworking. You know what I mean? So it's like, she's not trying to listen to what I'm listening to. And I could probably put in my headphones, but again, I don't know. The commute was where I got my time, man. It was an extra 30 minutes in my day. I did instead is just wake up later and take that time out. That's
if you got a family with small kids and it's just constantly chaotic, then sometimes I might just want to be in the car for 30 minutes.
Mm.
So I get where you're coming from, but I'm, you know, I'm different.
So you, yeah, so you're all locked in for just working from home now.
Yeah, just, hey, and my commute, I'm just, man, once it's like really, really open, I've been getting lucky.
Do you have to print paperwork?
I do. That's why they're making us go in. Somebody has to be in the office because all the printing you do goes to that office.
Yeah.
So someone's got to mail. Someone's got to handle all the other correspondence.
You got the dual workstation.
There has to be a like a general skeleton crew there. But judging her when the lockdown really happened, I never left the office. I was there 5 days a week when people started teleworking.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. It was kind of weird to be in there like almost alone, like running around playing hide and seek with yourself and shit, doing push-ups in other people's cubicles. And then they're like, oh, everyone's like, there's so much extra work to do. And I'm like, is there?
It is.
No, but they're trying to blame it on that, making people come in. But it's like, why are you making people come in because of the workload? Okay. Then we started rotating. Everybody got to come in 1 day a week. Seems fair. Seems logical. Now, right now, we on 2 days a week. Like, increased workload. Like, what are you talking about? I'm here every day. There's nothing that crazy going on.
Do you have a choice to go in or not if you want to?
No, you can't. They tell you what day you got to come in. Like, it's like the same day every week. And then in a couple weeks, starting in August, it's 3 days a week.
Oh, so they're trying to gradually increase.
You know, that's what I'm saying. People are complaining. I shot an email to the governor.
I think productivity for people that's been working like from home has probably gone down a little
bit. No, it hasn't. The numbers support they saved a ton of money by teleworking. The environment came up a little bit because there wasn't as many, you know, the carbon footprint came up.
None of that has to do with like.
And people's. No, because that's exactly what we're talking about, the commute. If it's that stressful, like you're going into work like that, you're not going to be as productive. If you're at home, you're happy, you're getting shit done in between, your overall productivity is still going to be there. It even goes up a little bit because of the quality of life.
They're going to have to prove that.
They did prove it.
To you.
There's numbers. Oh,
they said like, oh, so
there's numbers out there
that people are doing the same output that they were doing or even better than when they did when they were in work.
Overall numbers were up.
Mm, okay.
Now, yeah, some people, maybe it's not a good idea.
I'll tell you what, there's a new workforce out here, though, that's coming into these type of jobs complaining. And it's like, look, man, times was way rough when, you know, you probably had to come into the job every single day.
Yeah.
Versus like being... Entitlement comes at no matter
no,
at
I, all I get costs. It. Yeah, because right now I'm complaining about 3 days, but it's like I still got 2 days at home. But I'm thinking about more of a just the overall like inefficiency, because all I care about efficiency. It's like my thing.
Yeah.
And so when I'm looking at it, the reason we never teleworked before is because they said it wasn't possible for what we do.
Yeah.
Then the pandemic comes. Oh shit, all of a sudden we figured it out in like a month. So it's like, just stop treating us like we're kids. And be real. Wow. Just say nah. But the thing is, oh, there are people at home watching Netflix. They watch Netflix at work. I go in, I walk people past people's desks all day, and they got like three different devices.
Mm. Just living.
And
their
I'm
best.
Saying, like, if you can, there's only so much work you can do. Because a lot of, at least in my job, I'm always waiting on other people. Like, it comes to me, I get it to the next person. I do this, I do that. I'm always waiting on something else. So if I'm doing all my part is done, I have to sit there and twiddle my thumbs and wait for something to happen. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, that's why people are watching Netflix at work.
Yeah.
You're just mad that they're at home now. It's a real old school way of thinking.
Well, I mean, I was talking to this this girl about this on Friday at my boy's mixer. And I was like, look, you know, for every hour, you might only get like 45 to 50 minutes of productivity. That other 10, I'm gonna take a natural break.
That's probably more than a lot of people, because we come from the ADD generation. You can't just stare. Like, I have to move. Like, I'm always moving. I'm tapping my feet. I'm moving a lot.
I don't know anyone that stays locked in for a full hour, like, just without like their mind like just going somewhere else.
And that's why I have to have my headphones in, you know, whatever. That's why I take the every hour and I do the little push-up or sit-up break. I got to keep it moving. I got to stay.
What I like about this like culture that we have right now, at least in terms of office, like, I hated like hearing about people's weekend. Hey, how's your weekend? Oh, it was cool. What'd you do? Damn, I didn't think you was going to ask me what I did, man. Don't do that. All right, so let's get to it. Get to it. Started out deep out the gate, philosophical. No. I'm trying to change it up. Read them in wheat. I guess have fun with it. I'm a girl who is 23 who has never had a boyfriend. This is her asking you this question. Let's look at it in this vein. Okay. Hi, Lex. I'm a girl who's 23, never had a boyfriend. Now that I finished college and I'm a journalist, I have met some guys, mostly from high school and my middle school. I don't know how she just met them. Maybe she just like, or maybe they remembered
reconnected.
Her. Yeah, reconnected. One of them, who went to my middle school, recently asked me on a date. Another one from high school asked me out, too, in the same week. They must be like, hey, man, I bet you I get it before.
Sounds like a small town.
Neither one have ever talked to me in those respective schools. Even if I wanted to go out, I'm a little nervous because I've never been on a date. What do you think I have to do? I know I shouldn't care about what, you know, people or other people say, and it's just gossip, but what should I do? First date for her, right? You're talking to her. Let's say this is a good friend of yours or a daughter.
No.
She's 23.
Yeah, so I'm already looking at it kind of weird.
Why is that?
Like, 23, no one's ever tried to talk to you. Like, were you that locked in?
But you know her, yeah. She's giving 4 hours, like of productivity.
She was like, you know, okay, she's a journalist. You can't be mad at these dudes for not talking to you back then.
Maybe she wasn't like, you know what? Man, we never really talked about this, but there's some great late bloomers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, there's some chicks that are like, oh, that's the same chick? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like 15 years has been kind to you.
Be nice to that big girl. Yeah. When she grow up and things are going,
she's
like,
completely
hey.
Different now. Hey, Lex. You like, I didn't even recognize you. Lost a whole person. But, I can imagine her, if she comes from like very strong moral backgrounds, or maybe even a religious one, you know, how she can not go on a date for
religious people can't
years.
Date. Someone can't take you to eat because you love Jesus too much.
I've met some Catholics that will say like, oh no, like I wasn't allowed to date till I was 18, 19 or whatever. You know what I mean? Or even not even just Catholics. Let's just say Christians
see,
in general.
That might be one thing. Like, okay, I got a strict household, I can't date until I'm out the house. But you've been out the house for a while.
About 5 years.
Usually girls that come up in that strict situation, they wild out in college. Doing a whole bunch of type of experimental things because they never let me out the house.
You don't know any single women that like stayed single for about 4 or 5 years, like during those college years?
But single people can still date. I know people that weren't in a relationship, they still dated and did their thing. That's what I'm wondering. You're telling me you've never been on a date. You haven't been in any type of situation.
Right.
At age 23.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Now when I think about it, because your freedom has come like 5 years prior.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. Like, okay, I get it. Oh, I couldn't date till I was 18, blah, blah, blah. But now you out the house.
Maybe she stayed at home until 23.
She's grown.
I know.
Is that you under my roof? My rules.
Here we go.
I got a biology exam tomorrow.
Let's make this interesting. This is your daughter. How old is she?
It's not my daughter.
Yeah. How old is she? Like, how old are you?
See, I'm
okay with your daughter dating.
Because the sun and the moon and all the Chinese zodiacs lined up, I knew I was getting boys. I made sure. We only did certain...
Oh, so it's like out of sight, out of mind. You didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I lined it up. We only did certain positions because I knew a boy was
coming.
So
as a man, that seems like he's siding with, you know, making choices for women.
Nah.
30 seems like a good number for you.
No, but see, and this is the balance you have to have. Like I said, if you grow up in a very strict household... Then once you get taken off the leash or a little bit of slack, you're probably going to be overdoing it to compensate. So what I think is if you give them a slack growing up and you be, you know, lenient in certain aspects, certain areas, then they won't abuse that power when it comes to them. And they are independent where you can't really tell them anything.
Yeah.
Now, because I know if you're just like, no, you can't go out, you can't do nothing, blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that experience when you're older, you're just like, oh, and then you do it. That's why, like, you know what I mean? Like, back in we grew up in a generation where they didn't want to do, like, smoking cigarettes because, oh, it makes you look cool. So sometimes you would go and you waited. Oh, I can't. I want to do it. And then you do it and you're like, oh, I waited this whole time and cigarettes are kind of trash.
Same thing for alcohol.
Right. So it's like, okay. But if it's being dangled over your head as a carrot, like, oh, I know it's super cool, but you can't do it. You can't do it. And you make them wait, wait, wait. Then they might go abuse that power when the opportunity comes and you can't tell them anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So there's got to be some type of balance where you can come to where you're just like, you're going to date, you know, let somebody take you out and try to show you a nice time so you know what you're looking for. Or so you can find out what you like or what you don't like. And then when you really start dating and you're older and you take it more serious, you have a little bit of experience under your belt to where you don't just jump for the first person that said, I like you. Because those girls are weird that fall in love because you said you like them real quick.
Which is why there's a fine line, because I feel like, you know, sometimes you might have to, you know, let them try a little earlier than 30. You know what I mean? It being funny, but at the same time serious, just because
you're the one that's going you have to answer this question in real life.
I know, but I was talking to a dude last night actually, and he was talking about how like his daughter, you know, she's 16 now, she dates and stuff, and they go to the movies, and in his mind he was like, yo, like it's platonic, you know, I know, like she's pretty open and honest with me. And I was like, yo, that level, this is brother too, and I was like, yo, this level of like security that you have in this like response is crazy to me.
No, but is it crazy if they have that type of relationship and he cultivated it by not treating her like that? Then she you know, she's gonna be more responsible, and if something happens she can be open and come to him with it. But if it's like, no, I'm your dad, you ain't date nobody, get these little boys out my house, blah 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 blah, then she's gonna be more sneaky. She's going to hide stuff. She might do some shady shit from time to time.
I think that dad, though, needs a lot of coaching, not even just in that moment, but it's probably like, what can you do in the interim periods to show your daughter, hey, these are the type of men that you want to, you know, kind of go after.
No, yeah, you can do that, but she's not going to want to talk to you about it. Yeah. If her whole life you've been telling her, boys are evil, boys are the devil, get them out of here, you're not dating until you're 30.
I'm not saying that.
No, but I'm saying, like, a lot of people do that. And then wonder why their daughters don't ever tell them shit.
That's bad. Or I would say even for like, and the vice versa, I guess, is for boys to moms. You know what I mean? Or, you know, oh, I could go to my dad about X, Y, Z. I wonder, out of you and your wife, who do you think the kids are going to confide in, her or you? that was a deep sigh.
I think, I mean, it could be either of us, honestly. We're not the most traditional couple, traditional family.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that we can get it to the point where, you know, we can be the cool parents where it's like, yeah, I can tell my mom or dad, like, it's not a big deal, or, you know what I mean? And we can just keep it pushing. I don't think one of us is, like, super the other way.
Yeah.
Now, she... And I'll let them bring a white girl home, though.
You'd be completely... That's funny,
and
man.
And then I can't wait, because then they're going to look at me and be like, but mom, you did it.
Yeah, look at dad.
Mom.
look at dad. Right. It's crazy. All right, man. Here we go. What we on? Some random topics real quick to just fill in a little bit of time. We were talking about your kids and stuff like that, so we get this in as a whole. Always want to make sure we talk about the kids. You vaccinating your kids?
I ain't even thought about it, honestly. Or I haven't thought about it in a minute.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a tough decision right now.
If we're in the neighborhood.
I feel like, you know, 4 months ago we were way gung-ho about vaccines, and now it's like, ah.
But I feel like we're like that because we have it. And so we're not thinking about it no more.
Yeah, new variant, all this other stuff they keep coming with. It's like, all right, is it even worth like doing it now at this point?
Like, but the new variant don't scare me like the original. The OG just hit harder, you know what I mean? The new variant's like, ah, okay.
Well, I mean, even then, it's just like, yo, I'm out. I'm out.
I
back
went through outside. The hurricane, so a little rain ain't going to scare me.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Yeah, just a little bit of rain. I was thinking about it, though. Would your wife be okay with them getting vaxxed? That's another question, too, I guess.
I'm assuming she would.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if I could do it, man. I've been reading like so many reports about like, well, and that's been more like, I don't think they've been doing it for like adolescents, but they've been doing it more for like preteens and teens and stuff like that. And there's been a lot more reports and stuff of kids, you know, feeling ill or having complications due to the shot reportedly.
Are they going to add that to like the school shot records that you have to go?
Once they get it FDA approved. Because I don't think it's FDA approved yet.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, but once they get it FDA approved, possibly. But it's going to take a long time. It's been like, a year and a half or a year, and they still haven't
gotten... the only shot that I never take is the flu shot.
Yeah, I don't take that one either.
But other than that, like...
They had a crazy YouTube video about that.
So you can find a crazy YouTube video on anything.
Have you seen one of those?
Nah.
There's a girl that they said she only does things... Like, after her flu shot... She only does things backwards the right way. Like, she can't walk forward. It just be, like, staggered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard it. I saw that. That's hella old, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I hated how the reporter... The reporter said it's when she slows down he broke it. No.
They don't want to just say that she got some type of other disease.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, you know, there's that narrative out there that these vaccines are causing autism and other stuff from that community. And it's like, all right, man, like, I get it.
Let me ask you this. I thought about this the other day, brushing my teeth. What was your lunchtime? Where was your lunchtime hangout spot? Do you remember where?
Ooh, it depends what age you're talking about, but...
Let's go. We'll go with... Nah, we got to go from, we got time. So freshman all the way to senior year. Because you know you graduate.
But, and also I went to a school that was 6 through 12.
That's fine, but it was a big school and you had to find a place to be. So I need to know.
So the younger I was, I was on the playground. I was using my lunchtime to I was giving them buckets. I had to. We were playing football, whatever we did.
It's like middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Up until... Maybe 10th grade.
Wait, okay. You're still playing basketball. Oh, you're right. We definitely did used to play basketball at lunchtime. Not me and you together, because we were in separate classes.
Yeah, you was on the loser court
most
of the time.
But I was about to make fun of you for like playing, but I was in middle school at the time, and I remember where it's at. It's behind the lunch area at SCPA.
Basketball shorts under the jeans, separate pair of shoes. You got the gym lockers are right there. Just run out there real quick. And it was fire.
We were not interested in girls at that time.
No, I was, but I just, you know.
It's different, though.
No, but I've never been.
Oh, that's right. Even
I've
there,
never been thirsty.
Girls used to come out there and watch you play basketball.
I mean, exactly. Which is why I had to give them buckets.
That's nasty.
It's not nasty, though.
No, not you in particular.
No,
my daughter need to be either in the game.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, because if there's a whole bunch of thirsty dudes at the school, which most schools are going to have a lot of thirsty people, when you're not that thirsty, you already coming out ahead.
Right.
Because they're like, oh... Here's one person who doesn't just try to talk to me, shoot his shot every single day. And that's how a lot of my attention came. Because I wasn't here like with my AK-47 shooting at everything moving. I'm just like, nah, I do me. I make jokes. Y'all laugh. I'll see you later.
Sophomore year, where'd you graduate to?
I've always like rotated because I was cool
with... You're still playing basketball?
No. What I'm saying is like the hangout spot.
Mm.
I was mobile because, like, you know, and maybe this is still a thing, maybe it's not, you know, like the movie scene there you have your types of school people. You got the jocks, you got the gothics, you got the Harry Potter kids,
the Brab kids.
Yeah, you got like, and I was cool with everybody, so I would like make my rounds like real politician wise, like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, the girls.
So, a majority of your time was spent rotating each time.
Got to make my rounds. Say what's up to the people.
I'm gonna hit you with another one to let you know that you forgot about one. But here's this one. All right. So, for me, I stayed away from the bigger kids. That was the notion that you did, right? Like, it was like it's an ecosystem. We talked about this.
When you say bigger kids, you mean older or fat?
No, older.
Did all the fat kids hang out?
Finish him. No, all the older kids. And as you get older, you get confident. You know what I mean? You start drifting over to the more populated areas, which is actually closer to where the better food is.
Okay.
Right? Am I a little warm right now? Like where the considered cool kids that you were talking about?
Yeah.
they were closer to the good food.
That was doing the grinding beat on the table.
Yeah, they was close to all the good food spots. Matter of fact, SCP, I will say the fact that they had the Pizza Hut pizzas and the tinfoil. Oh my God, fire! But anyway, I slowly graduated. Then we had our bricks and stuff like that. Now, after you get off of, you know, said cool area and you're old enough, the next move is to not have a last period.
Yeah, I could. They wouldn't let me get that off.
For real?
I was like, yo, I got a job. They was letting everybody go to work except me. And I'm like, all right, remember you did this.
You told us that you weren't getting no hours at Foot Action.
Right, but at the same time, it's like, I have a 4.0. I've never been in trouble. Like, I'm not that type of kid.
Would they ever let you leave for lunch? Like, to go get something real quick and come back?
Nah. But, you know, you had your ways. So I'm saying, when you got the... Criminals are always smarter. They're always one step
ahead,
right?
My man started out with, I'm a criminal.
No, I didn't say I'm a criminal. But I'm saying kids in general.
Yeah.
You put this limitation on me, I'm going to try to find my way around it. Whether we got to smuggle some shit in, we got to pay off a teacher.
Exactly.
Whatever we got to do, we getting these burritos.
Mm.
But I wasn't like the big ditcher like that. But they wouldn't let. But see, yeah. And then, you know, a lot. I mean, I think a lot. Most schools have like 6 periods. SCPA always has 7. So I was about to. I could have graduated after 11th grade pretty much if I just needed English and government.
Yeah.
Because I had enough credits. So.
But that, you still couldn't leave campus
that
with
that senior
with
year. You're struggling trying to fill your schedule. Like, I'm still taking PE as a senior, just trying to get my steps in. Yeah, I'm out here still giving them buckets. They're just freshmen now.
Oh, that's nasty, bro.
I had to fill a schedule.
I know, man.
Let me go through my.
Being 18 with a 14-year-old?
No, I graduated when I was 17. But I was like that in drama class.
What you mean?
Because the whole time I had a full schedule with like Avid and doing all.
Yeah, some kids that was probably
at
13.
SCPA, you had to
too.
Take an art to go there.
Yeah,
right. And I had gotten away with it the whole time because I was taking a bunch of other electives and nobody noticed.
Right.
By the time senior year rolls around, they're like, "Yo, what have you been doing this whole time? You supposed to be an art." I was like, "Oh, I've been working." And they're just like, "You need to take an art. What you gonna do?" I'm like, "Really? I'm gonna like." You gonna make me dance and sing and shit? And they're like, what do you want to do? So I was like, all right, throw me in this drama class. Now it's the beginning drama, so all these are kids. They're all freshmen. I'm a grown-ass man in there. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
All right, let me
drama
save him.
Drama was fun.
Let me save him right now.
But what I'm saying is I didn't have a last period, and so I was a teacher's aide. I was a cool teacher's aide. Like, oh, he was like, yeah, you can be in my class. Do whatever y'all want to do. And it was me and Ant, right?
Yeah.
Me and Ant were his aides, and he was just like, do whatever y'all got to do. We was in the back.
I knew they was going to make you an aide.
The homework was always done fast. But that's the thing. If we're all caught up, the teacher don't have anything for us to do, what are we going to do? Walk around being mischievous, pulling people out of class, talking to this person, going to the bathroom 100 times. But if you just let me leave school, I can go be productive in society. But now you got me out here causing mischief. And I'm not a mischievous kid at this point.
It sounds like you've always had a grief with
my point.
What am I about to say?
I work from home. I could have went to school from home at that point.
Oh,
why are you guys here doing this? Again. Just be better.
Oh my God, man. This dude always wanted to work from home from the get-go. Hey, so let me ask you this, man. All right, here we go. Let's set the scene. You see one of your friends, your boys you haven't seen in a long time. Won't say be me because you see me every week. So you see one of your boys you haven't seen in a long time. Let's say they're, you know, got a lot of overseas travel, you know, in their bag.
Mm, some stamps in the passport.
It's you know, it's post-COVID. Everything's great. Everybody's big vax energy. You shake him up, dap him up. He pull you in close, kiss you on the cheek.
Mm. Does he usually do that? Is that like our thing?
He spent some time abroad.
Oh, because he's like in Spain and shit.
Yeah. He's a Jeffrey. Jeffrey would spend some time abroad. So
he would kiss somebody on the cheek.
Would you take that warm embrace?
I'd be a little confused. If it's something we did on the regular, whatever. But like, if you just pull me in and it. It sounds like you dab me up, you pull me real strong,
yeah.
But you give me a light peck on some. You being real gentle, but like, come get over here.
Oh,
a light peck.
Don't let them hold the small of your back.
Yeah, not the small. You better get a shoulder blade or something.
That's mad crazy because you got to like lean back into that too, like it's soft gazing into somebody's eye.
And is it one of my shorter friends where he had to like get on his tippy toes? Yeah,
that's even crazy because now you looking down at him.
Yeah. Jeff would have to get on his tippy toes to give me a light peck on the cheek.
Looking back. Oh my God, man. I am crying right now. That's funny. All right. I just had to ask that real quick.
Yeah, cheek. I mean, you know, that's like a delicate. Yeah, don't give me no forehead kiss, though. That's way too intimate.
That's not your bag. That's not your bag. All right. One more. We'll do one more. Have you ever written a bad review?
I'm sure I have, but now I'm not that type of dude. I'm just like, whatever.
Quick story then. Maybe this will jog your memory on something that may or may have not experienced, right? So, long story less long, I had some bad services at a place. I'm not going to say the name of that place. And I wrote a very nice, long, thorough review because, on Yelp. And so a year later, I didn't think about said review anymore. Matter of fact, I still go to that place with no problems now. Like we got it all resolved, but I never took the review down.
They know who you are.
I don't think so because if they did, she wouldn't, our interactions wouldn't have progressed. Matter of fact, it was her sister that owns the place that I had an issue with, and not her in particular. So a girl gets on Yelp and she pretty much like gangstered up on me. I feel bad because, you know, they would have to serve somebody such as you, blah, blah, blah. And I was mad because like 40 weeks had went by. So I was like, dang, I missed this when it was hot. Or like, no, matter of fact, I take that back. About a year went by. I said, man, I missed this when it was hot, when she probably would have been checking for me. So now I got to like respond. Now, mind you, I went through this girl's page and she was just getting out here giving businesses the business, like giving them full on ratings.
She always got time.
Yeah, she's had time and like talked about a lady like following her in the store and it made her feel uncomfortable. And she just, you know, wanted to cry and she panicked. And I was like, yo, got to be careful how I say this. Mental health, I get it, is a big deal. Some of this stuff, though, that y'all be getting off in this era, man, is crazy. Like, yo, like the lady's just an older lady. If she's following you in the store, she's following you in the store there, man. It's not like she thinks you're stealing or whatever. She's just probably older. My neighbor across the street looks at me crazy every day, and bro's like 85. Now, maybe
he's following you in the store is kind of, it don't matter what age you are. That's kind of like, what are you doing? Now, if you looking at me weird, okay, you just might be weird, whatever. But following me in the store is like a different type of action.
If you have odd behavior, I can see why it's justified for someone to follow you.
But that's what I'm saying. So if you have maybe I do think you're stealing if you have odd behavior.
Here's the thing. We were only getting her side of said story. But then I found out she was like 16, right?
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to get my get back, right? But I'm going to do it in the most polite way ever. Didn't use any profanity, curse words or anything. And said, hey, if I was your dad or your mom, wouldn't let you talk to grown adults like that. Have some respect for your elders.
What'd they say? If you were my dad, I'd kill myself.
I never went back. But I just thought about that. That was a Karen moment for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, yo, but depending on the type of review you have, like, for example, did you watch that deportation show I told you to watch a while back? Never watched it?
The immigration thing.
I left a bad review about that dude in the construction.
It was during the pandemic. You had extra time.
I had so much time on my hands, man. Yeah. So for the listeners that don't know, we were watching the immigration doc. We talked about it maybe about 20, 30
like
episodes
ago.
Yeah, it was a long ass time ago. But there was a guy that was cheating, you know, labor workers, but he was, you know, fronting it from his like construction business. So I went on said construction business on Google and like just like made up a story like he never came to my house, the carpets were never finished, and 500 people liked it.
Yeah, you was being proactive. You was doing something about it, not just talking about it.
It was under the Grown Folks Podcast Network page, so we got some listeners. We got some listeners now, you know. But yeah, man, I was just finding different ways to bother people, I guess, is the best way to put it. All right, man, let's get into some. Let's get into something fun, man. All right, so Lex decided that he wanted to, like, forget what I was doing, man, and then, you know, wanted to do his own thing.
What are you talking about?
I wanted to play a game called Can You Guess This Show?
Okay.
All right, so he cheated and, like, played music earlier. But now I'm going to use that. This is going to be part of my You Wasn't Out, like, our You Wasn't Outside thing. I'm trying to mix them together. All right, here we go. You ready? Your ears ready? Here we go.
Turn me up.
Turn.
Oh shit.
Oh, I'm gonna let it rock out.
Damn, I haven't heard this in a long time.
Alright, I can't let it play out all the way because she says said name. So what's the name of it?
Cousin Skeeter.
Yes, sir. Ding 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 ding. Hold up, man. Let me get you the Oh, I ain't got it. There we go. All right, next one. I only got three of these.
Like all the shows had that same
vibe. Like the same 1-2 count. Yes. It's a tough one.
Is that the Eddie Griffin joint?
Ah, there we go. Malcolm and Eddie. Yeah, there Malcolm we go. Malcolm and Eddie. What's his name? Malcolm Jamal Warner or something like that? Yeah.
I didn't watch that all the time. But
He was in the Cosbys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, where's he at now? He's alive, at least, right?
Never know. I'm not going to say nothing too wild until I Google that shit.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about, like I was like, yo, I wonder what he has to say about Bill. Like, you know, like Dave Chappelle, like, the fuck, who cares what Ja Rule thinks at a time like this? Like, yo.
Nah, that's different, though. He worked with him. If he worked with him and he, you know, a bit, he's in the news because he's getting out of jail, then it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to you, I'm going to ask you how you feel.
How do you feel about that? Let me ask you. It's crazy asking a white man how he feels about a black man getting released. I feel like, here's the thing, Bill's a nasty man.
I thought he was blind last year. He walked all the way out of jail, saw everything. I'm ready to go. Get me the fuck out of here.
I saw him run. He was
he was more like a scamper.
Yeah. Scamper.
He shuffled.
I think, and I guess he's out on a technicality, so they're not going to go back and get him again.
I mean, I don't know the technicality, but hey, if I'm paying all these lawyers $1 billion, y'all couldn't find this technicality earlier?
Yeah, or but maybe it was on appeal.
Yeah, it happened. Yeah, all right. Well, hey, man, the law is the law. They found the loophole. Do a better job at closing the loopholes.
Yeah. It's tough, though, when you got like a team of lawyers like he does, but yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's not fair.
All right, that's not what we owe anyway, so. All right, let's get to this last one.
You know, the court appointed wasn't doing that.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Christopher
Dunn. My bad, this is going to hit me with the 3 seconds, because this one's on YouTube. Here we go.
Oh, this is my cheating one. Even if I didn't cheat, like, this is like, and I didn't even watch this show.
But you know what it is.
I know it because it's like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? That one of the intros, or has that weird.
So who is
whatever.
That?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, is he Jewish?
I believe so.
The word Seinfeld, like anything Stein, sign, or anything like that. No, all right, no, that makes 100% sense. All right, that was pretty good. All right, shit you wasn't outside for, man. Let's, do I need to do all that? Yeah, let's do it, just in case, just to be K. All right, shit you wasn't outside for. The original Space Jam. I thought that was, you know, something great to talk about, especially because LeBron's movie is coming out pretty soon. You can't miss it anywhere. And the type of promo wearing that they're doing for this said movie lets me know they spent a lot of money on this. And I haven't seen nothing like this since probably like around the original Space Jam or Jurassic Park when something like that comes out. Like, there's been a strong run for this for a long time.
But all the Marvel people, they, what do you mean you haven't seen nothing that strong? Like on a marketing tip?
Yeah, I don't think Marvel markets like super, they don't even creative. Roll out their shows anymore. They just throw them on there
because they already got the chokeholds. And it's different because Marvel, they care about the big blockbuster, go to the movies. These streaming services doing their shows, that's just to keep y'all, you know what I mean, entertained until the next big movie come out. Mm. But when the movies come out, you gonna know about it.
Yeah.
Because they'll do the, like, oh, yeah, the Marvel characters is on the McDonald's cups. They do the promos, you know, every, the billboard, the on the buses, the radio.
Damn, that was a real thing. What were some of the other things they used to put on McDonald's, like they used to put, like, for McDonald's?
I don't know. The only thing they do now is, you trying to throw a dollar at this hospital?
No, what, like what?
No, I'm sorry.
That's right. They don't do the movie promotions anymore, though.
I just think movie, they, I think the marketing this generation just, they do other shit now.
Like, you don't have, that's to worry about it. You can look it up on your phone.
That's
without,
not a big, yeah, it's not the biggest thing. And there's, like, you know, there's too much. McDonald's ain't as popping as it was when we were kids. Like, McDonald's was the spot. And so now, like, oh, there's all these other food places that, it doesn't even make sense to just focus on one.
Mm. See, man, you're in your bag right now.
Someone who worked at 7-Eleven, it is 7-Eleven today, too.
At the J-O-B, free Slurpee day. Man.
What? He's still flipping those burgers at Mickey D's?
Here's your order.
Thanks, Calvin.
Calvin,
you're not tired of that yet. Could be kicking it with us, man.
Having big, big fun.
He says he has a plan, man.
Meet the newest member of our management team, Calvin.
Congratulations.
Is that what they did to you? Or is that your position?
Wait a minute. They getting their bag here.
Yep, I'm part of the management team now, mama.
Oh, oh baby, I'm phone. So proud of you.
Wear my
voice
too hard now.
Yeah, you're right. Cause he does wear some fresh clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yo, Calvin. Welcome to the hood.
May we help you?
So, nothing much. Well, I'm out.
Peace.
Hey, yo, Calvin.
Man, what's the word in that child thing?
Oh man, no, not for me. Or a friend of mine.
What?
That's great. So now what y'all was just listening to was like a 90s version of McDonald's when they used to, like, you know, actually advertise and try to hire people. I think now it kind of speaks for itself. What had me vexed?
No, that's not what they were doing.
What were they doing?
They were
then?
Showing that, hey, we want the black dollar too. We hire everybody.
But traditionally speaking, they do. McDonald's, but for very low wages.
No, yeah, I'm just saying. It's,
that's what made me sick.
That's why they were doing that commercial, not because they needed workers.
Yeah, he was like, oh, he's got fresh clothes, yeah. But like, all right.
Can't do it with the Carhartt.
He can't spend his money on nothing else.
But see, that's an old commercial, and then people our age are probably more familiar with the Chappelle version of it.
Mm, what's that?
You never seen Calvin's Got a Job? Chappelle? Oh, man.
I'm going to have to watch it when we get out of here. He's doing a parody of this.
No, it's like the exact same commercial, but how stressful, because it is just a McDonald's job, how it can tear your whole family apart. You can't keep feeding these kids.
How long is it?
It's the same. It's like the same. It's like a, it's a sketch.
Okay, all right. Here we
go. Calvin's Got a Job. I fucking hate McDonald's. It tears his family apart. They leave him. All his friends.
Oh, my God. What happened to
Missy? She got shot.
Wait a minute. What? Welcome to the hood.
Yeah, all right,
here we go.
Crazy.
Oh, they did do a 2-minute version.
To give young African Americans an opportunity to serve their communities, making them feel responsible for the welfare of their own environment.
He looks miserable right now.
No, because if you work at McDonald's, you're probably miserable.
Too much whack Arnold's.
Whack Arnold's.
Corny ass nigga. It's a thin line between fries and shakes. The meanest burger in the world could be the meanest.
That's crazy, man. That's funny. But that's true,
that's
though.
Not even the funny. But yeah, that's why it was brilliant when he did it, because it's like McDonald's is trying to put that off, and that's 95
yeah.
or whatever. Trying to get that off, like, it's the greatest place in the world to work.
Whack Arnold's.
And then it's like, oh, is it? Because I'm obese, my blood pressure high, and I'm still on food stamps, and because I'm out of shape, because all I can afford is whatever food y'all let me take home every night. I can't pay my rent.
He was getting bullied. He says the thin line between fries and shakes.
And that's not it, because the beginning of the skit is like the good... Calvin's got a job. He's strolling down. Everyone's excited for him.
He's living his best life, man.
And then a few months later,
I hate when you go on like websites like for those type of jobs and it says careers.
Hey, for some people, man, unfortunately.
It is the case.
Some people's like, it is, what you got to do what you got to do, man.
Nah, I'm good. I ain't going to.
I respect all them people so much. That's why, man, I hate when, you know, like, that's a thing where these kids are making them YouTube videos of, like, throwing the soda back into the drive-thru or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that shit corny, man. Like.
Yeah, it's hard enough, man. I mean, look, I think if you were.
Like, I ain't dealing with this shit today. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I brought up 7-Eleven earlier, right? Working at 7-Eleven, now I did have a second job, but there was a point in time where that's all I had. And I was doing what I was doing while I was putting my other shit together, right?
Did you think of yourself as Calvin?
No, not okay. at all. The way Chappelle described Calvin, nah. Minimum, I'm just here, just doing whatever I gotta do. But
you know that processed pizza they sell?
That's
high cholesterol, for sure.
Yeah, man, that shit's still in my stomach. It's like gum, it don't ever digest.
You know it tastes horrible, right?
It do.
Like cardboard.
It do.
Yeah, okay.
What I'm saying is, you know, 7-Eleven, a convenience store, you're gonna have some theft.
Right. Some
he expected us, if we caught somebody doing something like a beer run, to go chase them. I'm not getting stabbed over $8 an hour, you know what I mean? But he wanted you to chase them down
for beer,
for whatever they were stealing.
Let me ask you, was the man that asked you to chase them down athletically where he needed to be?
No,
not even close.
No, I didn't expect him to.
Was he a heavy dude?
Not that heavy. But he's older.
I feel like I feel like that's against the law for him to ask you to do
probably,
that.
Probably, but he asked us to do a lot of random shit. Yeah, we cool, so I'm not going to say nothing, but I don't think we should.
That's like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
I feel like this is one bad Yelp away from getting you shut down.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah, man, I'm not getting shot over no tall can, a 211.
No, it's not worth it.
He needed that.
more so than I needed to protect it.
You know where you put your store.
I'm not ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not ready for that type of lifestyle. But again, Alex got a job working at 7-Eleven, scratching off them scratchers. All right, man, here we go. We get to this one current event and then we out of here. How wild is the U.S. housing market right now? So wild, half of the houses listed nationwide in April went pending in less than a week. Mm-hmm. So wild, one poll found that most buyers admitted to bidding on homes they'd never seen in person. That's crazy.
Sight unseen.
So wild, a Bethesda, Maryland resident recently included in her written offer a pledge to name her firstborn child after the seller.
That's a new one.
According to the CEO of realty site Redfin, so wild, she did not get the house. Pick a housing statistic at random and it's probably setting an all-time record.
Yep.
Home prices, record high. Inventory, record low. Percentage of homes selling above asking price, record high. Average time on the market, record low.
Yep.
Would you buy a house without like being able to see it? If you were like, if things got dire, could you see yourself doing that?
Yeah, man.
Even your home that you're building right now, let's say you were able to like build all the stuff and put it together, but you weren't able to see it like come together until move-in day. Is that typically, that's not.
I mean, that's kind of what happened.
Or if they chose said items for you then instead.
Some of that happened too.
Yeah.
But like little shit that you wouldn't think about. But
so a brand new home, you're fine with it. But an older home, you probably want to see it just because of like wear and tear.
But you also see someone who's like, as an investor, people do sight unseen all the time. Because they're just going to go knock some shit down anyway and bring it back up.
Mm.
But yeah, brand new home. I feel bad for anybody out there, man. And you know, I'm in escrow right now.
Mm.
Like I'm getting my other one off. I'm getting rid of it. It was done, and I had hella offers, and it's not in a great neighborhood. It's still original. I didn't put a lot of money into it. All I did was pay for a carpet clean, and I was like, I'm not trying to put a whole bunch of money into this because I can't use the money I'm going to make. Otherwise,
you can make it as great as you want to, but the neighborhood speaks for itself.
Yeah. But at the same, and plus, because of every statistic you were reading off, I was like, I don't need to.
Yeah.
I can leave it like this. Someone's going to buy it. And they bought it. Ah, man, I was like, they're like, okay, how much do you think it's worth? And I was like, I think it's worth this. As a rational person in this market, I could probably get, you know, maybe 25 more.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. in a greedy market, I can get 40 more. But I wasn't thinking about that.
I feel like we're in a greedy market, right?
No, yeah, exactly. But I wasn't thinking, but I'm still trying to think rational about, but people are very irrational because of shit like that. I just need to get somewhere.
Right.
And so greedy, I wanted 40 more. Rational, I was going to take 25 more. I ended up getting 42 more. Oh, and so I was like, God damn.
Did you start, you said a bidding war?
Not yet. I countered everybody because everybody came in over asking price because you have to do it. I just said, let me counter. And I've never been so greedy with the terms because that's what I'm saying.
So, how'd you feel about that?
I felt sorry for the buyer.
You were white.
Huh?
You were white for the first time in your life.
Nah.
That's privilege right there to be able to squash the little man.
I'm doing, it's not squashing them. It's giving you what the open market is.
No, you said that you felt bad about doing it.
I felt bad that someone's paying that much for that spot. I feel bad that the market is where it is and that's what it's come to.
That's population growth though.
No, I mean it's a lot of factors. It's low interest rate. Money's the cheapest it's ever been, and it's low inventory. With the low inventory and a lot of people looking for a house, and every house that is on the market can sell for more because there's going to be more people trying to get there.
I don't know where they're going to get more inventory anyway out here.
In my neighborhood, they still building, but I'm looking around like there's not a whole bunch of land left.
You're going to run into the jail.
And so you go, yeah. And so you're gonna be doing that. And then like, or you're going to start going around gentrifying older spots and bringing it back up. But that's all knocking down and rebuilding. The actual land is like running out.
Yeah.
And so at least in our city anyway, but
but
it's a lot of factors where everybody wants to be here. We're, you know, the beach town, military, low interest rates, motherfucking low inventory. And so I was like, if I thought I was gonna hold that house forever.
I thought you was too.
I was going to, but I was like, if I don't move it now.
Did you like weigh the pros and cons? Like, oh, there's only so much money I would get in rent compared to selling it right now.
That, but all the money I make, because it's an investment property, I have to put it in another property or I get taxed on it. So I'm looking at it from a rate of return aspect of, okay, I'm getting X amount of dollars per month from this unit. I can turn that money into more doors and make a bigger rate of return if I just move it correctly. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, so you're not just selling it and about to, you know, buy a new vehicle or something?
No, you can't, unless I want to pay taxes on it, and I ain't doing that.
What you mean? Explain that.
So I'm doing what's called a 1031 exchange, and so that, like, if you sell your house or you move out, right? Say you get another spot, you're renting out your crib, and 3 years later you want to sell it. You're like, dang, but it's because you lived in it two out of the past 5 years, it's still considered a primary residence. So you could sell your house and up to $250,000, $500,000 if you married, $500,000 of the gain is tax-free. I've been away from that condo for more than 5 years. So it's not considered primary residence anymore. It's considered investment property.
Right.
If I sell the investment property, I have to pay taxes on all of it. Unless you put it into another investment property. And so you can keep rolling those gains. Now, eventually...
It's kind of like a 401k. You get a new job somewhere else, and they roll over your funds to a new account.
It's deferred tax. So someone's going to end up having to pay for it. But if you're always rolling it into more property, you can just scale up. And, you know, I started a small condo. And, you know, as long as the market keeps going up, I sell it. I can roll it into something bigger. And now I'm creating, like, real wealth.
Yeah.
Because the biggest expense you're ever going to have is taxes. And so if you can avoid some of that legally, then... And so I'm taking this tax-deferred money, and I'm putting it into something that's giving me money in rent or whatever. Or I can buy a house and then get a mortgage on it, and they can't tax a loan. So I can pull the money right out the house. You can use your house like an ATM if you freak it right.
Yeah. I feel like there's you know, several ways to skin a cat, but even for you to explain what you're explaining right now means that somebody was winning for a long time before they started making those rules.
Oh, yeah. Those rules, they exist for a reason.
No, yeah. Because people are exploiting that.
And because of the inflation that's coming and all the printing we did trying to get through this pandemic, they might have to start closing some of those those loopholes to find new ways of bringing in tax revenue. So that was another reason, like, if I don't do this now, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to do it.
Right.
And so, you know, because they weren't taxing, like, unemployment checks, disability. Like, as far as I know, all that shit was tax-free last year. And so, inflation, you're going to see, like, you looking at what gas is, you're looking at the price of meat and stuff going up. Like, it's coming. And so, if you just have your shit in the bank not making any money or you're not making any moves, shit's about to get more expensive, including housing. Because, you know, back in my day, bread was a nickel. Like, inflation comes,
yeah,
and there's a healthy amount. But right now, and I hope we're smarter than we were in 2008. But the fact that the news came out yesterday or whatever that Wells Fargo's closing all their personal lines of credit, just like that, like, sorry, boom, closed. That's a sign that something might be happening. And usually it's not a great sign.
That things are going bottom?
That a correction is coming. And, you know, the correction last time was, it was rough. It was like 40%. You can't do that. But if it's a, you know, a 10%,
you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm glad that you're like on that right now, because I was thinking about, like, I was about to leave my job and I was going to head to a new job, but I was like, man, you know what, to be on the job for 7 or 8 years where I'm at now and to be in the position I'm in now, I'm set. So like if an economic downturn happens or whatever, they're getting rid of all the new people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to speak. And now I'm at a point now where, like, they would have to reassign me somewhere else. But this is the time that I've been waiting for, was for, like for this to see, like, hey, was my logic in saying that I would withstand an economic downturn and be able to profit off of it?
Oh, yeah. If you you work in a place where it's going to stay open. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not like it's shutting down. You know what I mean? So there's more job security and something like that. And like we've mentioned several times during this past year, if you're positioned correctly and you don't, you know, suffer the way some certain industries, certain pockets of people have, then you can really come up during these times if you're prepared. And so if it, you know, if things happen, it sounds like you prepared to capitalize on it.
That's what I tell people all the time. Like, just always have your money ready.
Just, hey.
And if you don't have it ready, then be patient and keep stacking it, though. Like there's some guys that I know that, like, right now, there's, like, you know, like, I got a boy, he was telling me the other day, I mean, he's got two incomes in the house and stuff like that, and he was living, you know, working from, you know, or living at home and working. But based off what you're saying, I've been telling him, and another friend, too, I say, hey, man, if you got money, this is the time, like, to, like, start saving it, or, like, if you want to buy a house, you know, start saving it, because, you know, it's not going to sustain forever. You know what I mean?
No, market corrections are normal. Just we've been in such a crazy cycle. Like, it was supposed to go down 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and it just kept going up. But eventually, something's going to happen.
Right. It has to.
And that's why I was saying I was feeling bad for the buyer. Not because I was doing a bunch of foul shit, but it's like, dang.
You're buying, like, at the top of the market right now.
Yeah, not even. But then again, I also have to buy somewhere. I just bought a house, right?
At the top of the market.
But that's the crazy part is, based on the, because it's such a military neighborhood, people are moving in and out like 2 or 3 years, they're getting stationed somewhere else, whatever. So there's always a house. Like, you're like, damn, you just got this house 2 years ago. They're already moving. So there's always a house going up for sale. And what they getting for it, I'm looking like, damn, like, I've only been here a few months and that shit's going for like 120 more than when I just got this. And we got the same space, the same square footage, all that. And I'm like, God.
Because the inventory's going up real fast too, though. Based on what you said.
The same way I feel bad for the buyer is the same way I felt when you bought your house.
You can't feel bad for me now.
No. Hindsight. No. I still can. But it was for a different reason. I was happy you have a home. I'm happy you're happy. That's all that matters. I was thinking I was like, damn, I couldn't pay that much to live here because I grew up here.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Your mom would probably say the same thing about you spending what you spent for your house.
No. Oh, no, she, whatever.
I know.
My mom thinks in 1987.
Still. But that's why you're thinking exactly. Away. And then you're.
But no, it wasn't that. If I never lived here, then it's like, oh, cool, I found a house, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. But because I've been here so long.
Right.
I couldn't imagine paying, because I looked at a bunch of houses here when we were looking, And I'm just like, I can't do it. It was one like literally like a stone's throw away from Yo's house. They flipped it. And she was like, this is nice. I was like, I mean, it's cool, but it's like, I live here already. Like, I can't do it.
I didn't have a problem with it.
And that's all that matters.
Me, it made life sense. I feel like if the circumstances were the same, right? Like, if you had mine, you would be more inclined to stay here. We'll talk more about it off mic. But you know what I'm painting.
I'm not saying it was a bad move. I was just like,
No. Man. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if it was more beneficial for you to be here.
Yeah.
It doesn't benefit you at that time or even now to be here.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? Like in that same space. You get what I'm saying now? But if it was beneficial, then it would make sense. That's why for us, it made more sense to do that. But anyway, all right, man, three cheers. I don't have my applause, though, so I'll do the little makeshift. shout out to my boy, Theron. He's getting married today. Him and CeCe, they've been together since college. Very beautiful story. I mean, they've been together just as long as you and Ashley been together, damn near, like in the same little, like, you know, in the same little time frame. So, you know, big congratulations out to them. I'm going to give you the rest of this energy for the rest of the day. And then after that, I'm going to bed. I don't even know if I'm going to stay late today. I don't know if I got it left in me.
School night.
All that celebration. Yeah, I need to go to bed at least by 7 or 8. But, yeah. Lex, what you got? Anything for three cheers?
Man, you know I ain't got nothing for three cheers, man. I tried.
He don't even try now.
No, last week I did. And then you cut me off.
What I cut you off on?
You wouldn't let me play the Queen Latifah.
Oh, you gonna play now?
Nah, I'm past it. I'm over it. I'm feeling a different type of way.
I definitely still had Bill Biv DeVoe in there for like 6 months. I was like, bro, now I gonna get rid of these. Like, he's just gonna leave it here. I finally got rid of it today. I was like, all right, you know what? It's over. Listen, I wanna go back outside, but I don't know with this heat.
Hey, man, it's warm. It's warm.
Yeah, man.
And like I said, we've been real blessed because if you go like 50 miles in any direction, anywhere else, it's like double hot.
I heard like Vegas is like a world. I believe in global warming now. I believe in it. Trust me. That's why, man. All right. Until next week, we'll see what happens.
Projects, I represent your challenge, my nigga. Oh, yes, apocalypse now, the gunpowder be going down, diggy, diggy, down, diggy, down.
While the planets and the stars and the moons collapse, when I raise my trigger finger, all y'all niggas hit the deck. Cause ain't no need for that, hustlers and hardcore. Roar to the floor, roar like reservoir doors. The green eyed bandit can't stand it. With more fruity and loops than that you can't stand it. Plus, the Baba Z got me wild.
Fucking with us.
It's a straight suicide.
7-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2 murder 1 lyric at your door. Take out, bring it to that ass roar. Breaking all the rules.